Imagine being stranded on a remote island with something unspeakable lurking beneath your skin. On Falstaff Island, 10 kilometers off Prince Edward Island's coast, Scoutmaster Tim Riggs leads five 14-year-old boys on what should be a routine wilderness retreat. The island is completely isolated, no inhabitants, just a single winterized cabin. These boys, Newton the intellectual, Kent the aggressive jock, Ephraim the wild card, Max the level-headed one, and Shelley the oddly emotionless observer, have no idea they're about to face a horror beyond comprehension. Their peaceful camping trip shatters when a stranger arrives by boat in the middle of the night. The man is unnaturally emaciated, skin stretched tight over bones, face like a death's head, yet with a grotesquely swollen belly. When Tim steadies him, he feels something moving beneath the man's skin. The stranger begs for food with desperate intensity, even stuffing soil into his mouth when nothing else is available. Despite his unease, Tim's medical ethics prevent him from turning the man away. It's a decision that will cost them everything. What the scouts don't realize is that their visitor, Thomas Henry Paget, is patient zero in a biological nightmare. He's infected with genetically modified parasitic worms, the result of a failed diet pill experiment. These engineered parasites consume their host from within while driving them to uncontrollable hunger. When Tim examines the man's swollen abdomen, he finds white tissue instead of organs. As he cuts deeper, a massive parasitic worm emerges, muscular, snake-like, and connected throughout the man's body. The worm propels itself out with peristaltic flexes, splitting into a thick white loop with plant-like appendages tipped with tiny mouths. Despite Tim's efforts to destroy it, the creature wraps around the stranger's neck, strangling him. The man dies as his stomach deflates, brown filth bubbling from the wound. But the horror has only begun. The infection has already started spreading among the boys. Fear transforms the boys as they confront their horrifying situation. The discovery of their scoutmaster's violent death shatters their security. Terrified by Tim's extreme emotional reaction, alternating between crying and unsettling laughter, they lock him in a utility closet, marking their first departure from civilized behavior. Kent's deterioration progresses from an unnatural hunger to aggressive personality shifts. As he worsens, the others imprison him in the cabin's root cellar. Shelley emerges as increasingly disturbing, displaying an unsettling fascination rather than fear. He purchases lighters and animal traps from different stores to avoid suspicion, maintains experiment notebooks, and derives pleasure from torturing small animals. When Kent consumes their entire food supply in one night, the boys face a terrible choice as a storm approaches. Return to the cabin with their dead scoutmaster or brave the elements. The situation reaches breaking point when Ephraim refuses to let the infected Kent join them in shelter, unleashing violence that fractures their remaining bonds. These genetically modified hydatids were developed by Dr. Clive Edgerton under the guise of weight loss research while secretly creating a biological weapon for military use. The modified worms come in two varieties, devourer worms that rapidly consume living tissue and reproduce, and conqueror worms that manipulate host behavior. Devourers consume protein, fat, muscle, bone marrow, and eye tissue, causing hosts to appear like starvation victims within hours, with all consumed nutrition directed toward producing more worms. The conqueror worms are more sinister. After colonizing the intestines, a larger conqueror emerges, traveling to the brainstem while depositing eggs along the spinal column. In the brain, it injects a neurotransmitter, driving the host's appetite to extremes while producing psychotropic effects that mask their deteriorating condition, making them feel healthier even as they're being consumed from within. This manipulation becomes evident as the infected boys transform. Kent grows increasingly aggressive and animalistic, while Tim, locked in a closet, begins eating wallpaper, finding the ancient paste vaguely sweet as the parasites drive him to consume anything available. Ephraim, convinced he's infected after noticing movement under his skin, cuts into his own flesh to remove the parasites. Despite briefly grasping a worm, it escapes deeper into his body, fueling his growing paranoia. In a disturbing turn, Shelley convinces the delusional Ephraim that self-immolation is the only solution. Completely psychotic, Ephraim gratefully accepts, dousing himself with gasoline and setting himself ablaze. Max and Newton return to find him transformed into a human torch. When Shelley appears with blood-stained hands smelling of gasoline, Max confronts him. The encounter turns violent as Shelley stabs Max in the abdomen. Despite his injury, Shelley threatens to kill them both, spitting phlegm at them with visible worms writhing inside. After burying Ephraim, Max and Newton realize they're abandoned. The military vessels offshore make no rescue attempts. They're enforcing a quarantine. When a civilian boat approaches the island, it's intercepted and destroyed, confirming their grim reality. Authorities are containing the situation, not saving survivors. Max discovers Newton's infection when he spots a tiny worm in his friend's eyeball. He returns to Shelley's hideout for boat spark plugs, armed only with a flare, finding the cave now crawling with worms clustering on every surface. Upon returning, Max finds Newton awake but noticeably thinner. Newton urges Max to leave alone, fearing his infection might prevent Max from returning home, but Max refuses to abandon him. Their escape ends in tragedy. As they approach military vessels, a searchlight catches their boat. While Max calls for help, Newton stands and begins to say, "I'm very, so very, very." Before finishing, a sniper shoots him through the neck, sending him overboard. Max barely registers this before noticing a red dot on his own chest. Later, we learn Newton had begun to say "hungry," one of the military's designated trigger words authorizing lethal force. Though questioned about shooting a starving boy, the sniper defends his actions while admitting he remains haunted by what he did. Max survives, but is forever changed. Studying from home, he receives assignments in envelopes teachers fear to touch. His trauma surfaces unexpectedly. A sweet and sour pork dinner triggers a screaming fit that only ends when his father discards the food outside. Interviewed at a secure facility, a prematurely aged Max recalls his fellow scouts fondly. Dr. Riggs as the coolest adult, Ephraim as loyal before something crawled into his head, Kent as seemingly invincible, and Newton as potentially the best dad. When pressed, Max delivers a haunting reflection on how desperately living things cling to life. The interviewer notes the boy's remarkable loyalty, a bond predating the dawn of adulthood and all the cruelties implicit in that stage. Later, Max pilots his uncle's boat toward Faustoff Island, now charred plaque with only occasional burnt trees. The water smells sterile, like chlorine. As he leans against the gunwale, something stirs within him, a nameless hunger with teeth that seem to call his name. The chilling possibility remains that the infection persists in the one survivor thought clean. What's truly terrifying isn't just the parasitic invasion, but how quickly humanity unravels when faced with existential threat. When survival becomes everything, what monsters might we become?